because I want to talk to you just for a little bit about God in our battles. You know, the theme, if there was a theme, I would say that there's been a theme that's not been planned today, that we've focused upon the help of God and the ministry of the Spirit of God and God being with us at all times, and we want a relationship with Him, and the celebration of the water baptism and all of that. It just reminds me, you know, how things just, God has a way of putting things together that we haven't planned and we haven't thought about. And when I think about how that our life goes in and out of times of struggle and times of problem and trial, and believers know this. I mean, believers know that when we're saved, we're not guaranteed that we will not have problems and not have trouble and not go through battles, because we know better than that. We've gone through very difficult times since we've been saved. But what do we find out? We find out that in those difficult times, we find that God is with us. We find that whenever we're in fights and in battles, that the only way to win our fight and win our battles is to fight through the power of the Spirit of God and to trust God and believe that God will bring victory to our life. You know, all of us, I mean, probably at one time or another thought that, well, I can pull myself out of this. Well, I can do better. I can just make things work. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps, and I can just attack it, or whatever, however we want to word that in our own mind. But real victory comes whenever we understand something. Whenever we understand that our hope is in God, and that God is our source, and that the only way to overcome our battles and our struggle and our fight is to trust the power of Almighty God when we're in the midst of it. Now, if you've not been in a fight lately, I don't want to depress you, but you got one coming. And if you're in one right now, I want to encourage you. Through Christ, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. And I want to tell you right now that if you are fighting, that God is fighting along with you, and you are not alone. If you're glad you're not alone, would you just give God a praise for that? I mean, you're not alone. You're not fighting by yourself. And I love that the Word of God is just filled with the stories of encouragement and stories and books and chapters and verses and passages about victory and about overcoming and understanding that we fight through the power of God. And that's what this psalm is all about. It talks about God fighting for us and how that God is warring on our behalf. But when we go into battle and we go into spiritual fight, there are things that are needful of us, I would even say required of us. Now, I know that there are movements in the church that think, well, now you're getting into this work-centered stuff. And I know there's lots of debate about that kind of thing. But the Berea Church of God knows that we are not a work-centered church. We believe with all of our heart that we're saved by grace, and we believe with all of our hearts that we are kept by grace, that you cannot do anything to earn salvation, and you cannot do anything to keep your salvation, but that God keeps us, and God saves us, and God helps us. But God requires some things out of us, and one thing that God requires out of us is that we walk in obedience to what God Almighty says, because obedience breeds dedication to God. Rebellion is an enemy of God, because the Bible says that rebellion is like the spirit of witchcraft. But whenever we are obedient to God, there is a natural thing that happens that brings strength into our life and a life of devotion and dedication. Whenever the Bible says in the story of Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and his sisters are there, and most of us know that story well. But they were questioning his actions. I mean, the Bible said not only were the sisters wondering about it, one talked about it, but no doubt the sisters felt like that if the Lord had been there, things would have been very different. You might feel that way about things in your life. But the Bible said there were others there, if you read that story. There were others there that are unnamed that wondered why Jesus didn't come and when they're on time for people that he loved dearly. And everybody knew the relationship that he had with them. Now, that song that we sang this morning was not written yet, But the psalm writer reminds us that he is always right on time. Hallelujah. That there's never a day, there's never a minute, there's never a moment that God is not working in our life, walking with us, and ready to go to war on our behalf. Hallelujah to God. Now, I know it's been a full morning. I know it's not late. It's really quite early. And I know that we've had a lot going on today. But you know what we've got to take time to do? We just got to take time to dial it back and be reminded that we've got somebody in our corner that's fighting for us, that's warring for us. And he says, if you will obey me, I'll show you my glory like you've never ever seen before. Somebody help me give God a praise right now, will you? And that's what he told him. He told him, he said, I told you that if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God. If you would just believe, you would see the glory of God. And so Lazarus, I thought this morning, before you got here, I was looking at this and I thought, I was just going over in my mind, I thought, well, the death of Lazarus represented a loss of hope. The death of Lazarus represented a future of sadness. We just told our dear beloved Jenny by yesterday, and something I say a lot at funerals, you know, that there are things about the funeral that goes beyond the immediate passing of somebody you love, and it goes beyond the funeral service itself, because there are events that go on and on. We talked about my dad in March. We observed his birthday, although he's been gone since 1978. And I remember on February the 7th of this year that I said, this is the anniversary of my dad's passing. There's never a moment, there's never hardly ever a day that he's not in our memory and not in our mind. We think about him at Christmas. We think about mom next week. You know, I know some of you will struggle because your precious mother is in heaven. And you're going to struggle with the idea of a Mother's Day celebration and all that. I get that. I understand that. And I know that the hole that is left in our lives whenever somebody we love goes on, it just it never goes away. But let me remind you, when they said, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Let me remind you of something. Jesus said, I said to you that if you could believe me, that I would show you my glory. Now, guess what, Berea Church of God? There's a hole? Yeah. There's sadness? For sure. There's heartache? Oh, absolutely. There's questions and head scratching and all the above. But let this Pentecostal preacher remind you that there is always hope in a relationship with God. And he said that if you will obey me, I'll show you my glory. If you trust me, I will show you my power. If you walk in my obedience, I'll make everything turn out for your good and make you your life much, much better. Somebody help me praise him right now, will you? I mean, that's the promise of God. That's the promise of God. That when we walk in obedience to God, that he will absolutely turn all things to our good. The Lord said himself in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. He said, God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 6, when he was getting ready to go against Jericho, he said to Joshua, when you march that seventh time around on that seventh day, you make a long blast on the trumpet and the people will shout. And when the people shout, then the walls will fall down flat and then you will go up. You will ascend up into the city. I mean, look at that. Just look at all the action that is listed there. First of all, he said, sound the trumpet. What would have happened if somebody would say, well, you know, I really don't feel like blowing on this horn today. I think I'll pass that up. Well, I'll wait for the shouters to shout. And then if somebody would say, well, I'm really, you know, I get tired of being told to shout and make noise and all that. I'm just going to dial it back today and I'm not going to shout. Surely to goodness, we'll be able to take the city. Well, I'll tell you something. If there had not been any trumpet blowing, if there had not been any shouting from the people, the walls would not have fallen down flat, and the people would not have ascended up and captured the city. Berea Church of God, if you got something before God right now that you need God to do, guess what God is saying? Obey me, and I'll show you my glory. If you will believe, all things are possible to those that believe. Come on, help me, will you? I mean, when you walk in that kind of obedience, would you do what God said do? Why is it then that we're called to action and we're called to believe and we're called to respond? Because our actions always back up what we believe. We do what we believe. God has called on us to be obedient and to walk in the obedience that He's laid out for us. Because God is going to be with us and God's going to get involved. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 7. When I read this, I think of going bowling. Now, I'm not a bowler. I am not a bowler. But when I think of this, I want you to hear this verse. God said to Moses, said to Israel, "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against you to come at you one way, but they will flee seven ways." Now, why is that bowling in my mind? Well, you know, I see the enemy like pins at a bowling alley. And I see the enemy set up there, and it's set up in one set. There's different, many pins, but it's all set up into one formation. But when God gets in the arrangement, it's like a bowling ball hitting those pins, because the pins cannot stand against the weight or the strength or the velocity of the bowling ball. And when the bowling ball hits the pins, they scatter in all kind of different directions. And that's what, God didn't say bowling, but that's what God was trying to get us to see. That yeah, the enemy comes, but God says, when I get in the arrangements and I go and I fight your fight, they're gonna scatter just like bowling pins at a bowling alley. I wanna tell you, Berea Church of God, it may look scary, it may look bleak, but God says, I'm involved in your fight, and your enemy will scatter, and you will walk in victory by the promise of God's almighty word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all, excuse me, if you're not used to a Pentecostal preacher, you might want to hold your ears just for a second, all right? All right, you ready? I warned you. Woo! Yeah. My God, I got goosebumps on that one. I feel like electricity's run all over me. Can I do it again? Plug your ears. Are you ready? Woo! God is good. Somebody help me praise Him, will you? I'm telling you, God is fighting our fight. And you are more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. And if God is for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. You are a winner. Praise Him in the house right now. You are a winner over your challenge. God promised Joshua. He said, there will not be any man be able to stay before you all of these days. I like what Jesus said in Luke 10:19. When He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on the serpent and on the scorpion and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Good morning. Hello. Did you go to sleep? Are you still here? The Lord said, you will walk on serpents and scorpions because He's given you the authority. And He said that when you walk on serpents and scorpions, they will not harm you. And He said, I've given you power to overcome all the power of the enemy. Somebody ought to smile real big. Somebody ought to elbow your neighbor and said, He's talking to you. Hallelujah to God. You're going to win that, my God in heaven. You're going to win this thing because greater is He that's within you. Somebody praise Him right now, will you? I'm telling you, you're going to win this thing. You're going to win it because He's promised us that we had the authority over all this mess. I'm just going to sound a little bit cranky if I can, but it just drives me nuts. to hear believers, I'm talking about believers, that want to whine and cry and bellyache and complain because the devil's messing with them. Hello, somebody. Are you ready? Remember this? You were here last week. Remember that? You drive those stakes deeper and you say, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm going to sound a trumpet blast myself. Remember that? I'm going to sound a trumpet blast myself. And I'm going to make a declaration that my God is greater than the serpent. My God is greater than the scorpion, and I'm driving my stake in the ground, and I'm going to see the glory and the, come on somebody, and I'm going to see the glory and the power of God, and God's going to fight my fight, and when God fights my fight, I'll win my fight. You're not winning because you're not letting God fight. You're trying to be the best version of yourself you can be. You're laying stuff down. You're trying to get closer. But you'll never see the glory and the victory until you submit your life to Christ and unite with Him and let Him fight your fight for you. Because we're battling an invisible foe today. It'd be one thing if we could see Him, but we can't. The Bible said that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness that's in high places. We don't see it. We see the results of it, but we don't see it. I've never seen, to my knowledge, the devil. Don't want you to think I'm nuts, but I believe, seen demons. I was sitting in this sanctuary one Saturday night, it's happened two times, setting up here, all the lights out, setting in here praying, and have seen activity in the sanctuary, and you weren't here. And activity in the sanctuary, and even though the sanctuary was dark, no lights on, I saw dark objects moving. To the point to where I knew in my spirit right away that demonic activity was loose. And when I say loose, maybe a better word would be active, not loose, not allowed, but active. And they were here. And I will not go any farther because I don't want to make me sound whatever, but I want to tell you something. Are you ready? Whatever the hand of God gets on your life and the Holy Ghost dwells up inside of you, it don't matter what you face. It don't matter what you see. Something reminds you of who you are in Christ Jesus. Come on now, somebody. There ain't nothing that's big enough or strong enough to take you down as long as you walk in the authority that God has given you. If the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you of all unrighteousness, greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. If God is for you, it don't matter who's against you. Come on now, somebody. I mean, you just don't get afraid. You just don't get afraid. You understand that God is not you. You guys don't. I mean, I know some of you have known me. Very few of you have known me for 34 years. That's how long Donna and I have been here. Some of you have known me longer than others. But I want to tell you something. Nobody here knows me like I know me. And I ain't very good. I've been saved since I was 18 years old. I should be a whole lot better than I am, but I ain't very good. I fail. I fall short. In the Bible, that's called sin. I miss out on God's target for me. In the Bible, that's called a sin. I am weak when I should be strong, and there I should have a whole lot more wisdom than I have. But here's something I know. That in spite of all my weakness, in spite of all my failures, my sin, and my flaws, that I serve a God who is perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my God who is perfect forgives me. And my God who is perfect helps me. And my God who is perfect fights for me. And the demons that were loose that night in this sanctuary are not afraid of me, but they are afraid of the God who I serve and the authority I have in Christ Jesus. Come on now, somebody. And whenever I when I ever look at those that invisible spiritual force, and sometime it manifests, that's why I don't run and hide. I don't run for the car, and I don't run to the house. But that's why I can stand in a dark sanctuary. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you I know who I am in Him. That's why I can stand up in a dark sanctuary and look at it and say, in the name of Jesus, you leave this place. You do not have a place in this place. I command you to leave, and I saw it go out the door. Now somebody help me. I'm telling you, you may think I'm nuts. You may leave here and say, man, that handsome preacher, that buff preacher, that bodybuilder. I am a bodybuilder. German chocolate cake Susan made for me. I'm a bodybuilder. But you may leave here and think I'm nuts and I'm crazy. And you know what? I really am not offended by that, because sometimes I think I'm nuts and crazy myself. But I want to tell you something. I've learned some things. Well, glory, I'm about ready to get a little Pentecostal on you right now. But I'll tell you, I've learned some things, church. How about you? Anybody learned some things in this house? Has anybody in this house learned who you are in Christ Jesus? Come on now, somebody. Does anybody in this house know what it's like to be free? Come on now, somebody. Is there anybody in this house knows what it's like to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire? Be able to pray in the Holy Ghost and rebuke demons in the name of the Lord and see them get up and go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever seen God answer prayer? Anybody ever seen God move in power? He does. I mean, God just absolutely shows off, because He fights for us, according to the psalmist. Through Him, our enemies are pushed down, according to the psalmist. Victory is ours, not because of of our church we're members of, not because of the color of our skin or our gender, not because of education levels, but because of who we know. We know Him. How do we fight, as I get ready to close? In Matthew chapter 4, the devil came to Jesus when He was in the wilderness and tempted Him three ways. All of these three ways, these are sermons in themselves, but I'm just going to hit them and run. He said, if you're the Son of God, after 40 days of not eating, command the rocks to become bread, if you really are the Son of God. And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Then He said, if you're really the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, cast yourself down this cliff, because the Bible said the angels will come and rescue you and bear you up, lest you would dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, Deuteronomy 6:16, and said, you don't tempt the Lord your God. Then He said, well, if you will bow down and worship me, the devil said this, if you will bow down and worship me. He showed him the kingdoms of the world in a vision. And he said, if you'll do this, I'll give all this to you. And Jesus said, it's written. He quoted Deuteronomy 6:13 and said, it's written that you worship the Lord God, in Him only do you serve. And only after three attacks, three using the word of God to bring correction and rebuke, did the devil leave him. But read the story. The Bible says, and Satan left him for a season. That just means that when you get some victory today, you may be right back in it tomorrow. God may give you some relief today, but the battle is never over, guys. It just isn't. But you got to learn how to fight with the Word. And Tom, would you make your way up, please? And then we got to learn how to fight in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and 8 that we will receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon us and we'll be witnesses to him. And then Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So how do we fight? Well, we fight with the Word, but we also fight in the Spirit. That means that the power of God that dwells in a believer fights through that believer, and we trust the work of the Spirit, because the work of the Spirit is greater than the work and the effort of the human. Now understand, that night, forgive me if it disturbs you, I go back to that if you think that I'm whatever, but I never could have driven that spirit out of this church that night by the authority of Steve Hobbs. I could not have grabbed it because it's a spirit. You can't grab a spirit. I could not have grabbed it. I could not have manhandled it. If I would have tried to be a tough guy, I would have failed. But I could stand on this platform, rising up out of my chair, and I could look, because it was back at the back there around where Philip is, and I could look back there, and it was moving around, and I could look back, and I could point my finger, and I could say, in the name of Jesus, amen, you leave this place. And I could see it stop, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, leave this place. And out the door it went. Now where it went, I don't know. It might have went to your house. I don't know where it went, but I know that that did not happen because of my name. It did not happen because I'm a white man. It did not happen because I've been to seminary. It did not happen because I'm a preacher. It happened because of who I know. It happened because of who dwells in me. It happened because of the power of God that fell on me at Pentecost. Whenever I knelt my knee to him and was gloriously saved, and then I knelt my knee to him and was wonderfully baptized in the Spirit, and I began to walk in the Holy Ghost and begin to minister in the power of the Spirit, that's how your victory comes. You can try all day long. You can try to be as good as you want to be, but your victory comes whenever you bow your knee to the authority of God Almighty and let Jesus Christ be Lord of your life. That's when it happens. You fight in the Word, you fight in the Spirit, and then you fight in faith. Fight the good fight of faith, the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Lay hold onto eternal life. That just means you believe when you fight. That just means that whenever you go to battle in the Spirit, you know that through him, our enemies are vanquished. We know that when we walk in obedience, that God involves himself with us. And then we know that whenever we walk and God is unified and gets involved in us, and then we believe him, and then we learn how to exercise that Word of God, and we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest and work in us. And then, James, we believe God. How do you overcome if you can't believe? I mean, think about it. You saved folks. I want you to think about it. We're getting ready to pray, but I want you to think about it. You saved people. I want you to think about this. I'm going to testify for about 1 minute if I can. But I remember whenever I committed my life to Christ, and I've told home people this, and if you haven't heard this, I hope this helps you. But I remember I was on my knees at the back row of the church. I didn't walk the aisle. It was the very back row where I was sitting. I spun around and put my knees on the floor, buried my face in the pew, and I met Jesus. When I got off my knees, I just spun around and sat back in the very pew I was sitting in. And there was not any electricity, spiritual electricity, not any outburst of joy, not even a smile. You know what it was? Question that led me to faith. I sat there and I remember my elbows were on my knees and I was looking at the floor. And I thought to myself, what happens when I see Ron? You home folks may remember this story, but Ron was my best friend. And then I said, what will happen when I see Bill? Bill was my best friend. Ron, Bill, and I hung out all the time. And I thought, well, what will happen when I see them? Because they don't live like this. And I had to come to a decision. Am I going to live for him? Or am I going to live for Ron and Bill? And then all of that represented. And there had to be faith released in my life. The pastor walked back to me, knelt down beside me. I'm sitting on the pew. He gets down on his knee next to me, puts his arm around my shoulder. He said, Steve, here's the words. Are you ready? Do you believe that God saved you? Now, I've got all these questions going on. No big emotional yippee-yay-hoos. But when he asked me that question, I paused and said, yes. I believe God saved me. And I got off the pew when we were dismissed, and I walked to the car, still wondering, but it was tested the next day. Just like every other evening, that evening, Bill called me. What you doing, Hobbsy? That's my nickname. What you doing, Hobbsy? And I said, I ain't doing nothing. He said, well, I'll be out in a minute and I'll come get you. And I said, okay. But Bill, wait, just a minute, I want to tell you something. He said, oh, what? I said, I got saved last night. He didn't know what that meant. He had no clue what that meant. And there was a pause. And this is funny, but this is the gospel truth. He said, well, I've been thinking about getting into the piano. He just thought of something, like a habit or something. He didn't know. And he came out. I got in his car. We went out for a little while, not long, just drove around a little bit. He brought me home and never seen him again. Never talked to him again. And you know what? I loved him. He was my buddy. But it was okay. It was okay. Because I had something happen to me. And Berea Church of God, it's okay. When God comes in and when God does the work and God fights the fight, you know what I heard later? I promise you we're getting ready to pray. But you know what I heard later? I heard that kids, back then we were kids, we were 18-year-old kids, and they laughed when they heard about Hobbsy getting religion. I was visiting a hospital of don't forget who, and I was getting off, and a girl got on that I'd gone out with. And Steve, and I said, Ann, you know, so we talked a little bit, and she goes, are you still a Jesus freak? And And I said, yeah, yeah. But you know what? James, life gets better, doesn't it? Look at there. Life gets better, doesn't it? Gail, will you come here, honey? I don't want to embarrass you, but come here. Gail. Diana, I'm sorry. I call her Gail. She looked at me like, who? Life gets better. Because this is a product of salvation. It really is, because it brought us together. Same church. Met each other. I mean, all that. Paul, Rose, their families. I got five grandchildren here today. Well, six counting the one that's on the way. And so I've got grandchildren here today. I got a beautiful wife here today. That all goes back to that Sunday night when Jesus became Lord of my life. I was full of questions. I didn't know how things would unfold. I didn't know what would happen. But it turned out pretty good. And you know what? You're a result of that. Hallelujah to God. Our relationship, our time together, it's all a result of that Sunday night when I knelt at the back row of a church and I asked God to forgive me. No fancy praying. Couldn't quote scripture. Just, oh God, will you forgive me? Oh God, will you forgive me? And the pastor saying, Steve, do you believe? And me saying, yes. When I released my faith in God, I know something happened and something took off in me. And here I stand today. Troubles, yeah. Fights, oh my goodness, have we fought devils? Oh my Lord, have we fought devils? Oh my, are we still fighting devils? Oh my goodness, we got our kids raised and we're still fighting devils for them, but now we got all these grandkids coming up that we're gonna have to fight devils for them. We got your kids we're fighting for. We got you we're fighting for. But you know what? Greater is He. Come on now, somebody. I mean, God is fighting for you. You want to go sit down? Okay, go. I bow you for us. Now, I want to pray for you. I want you to bow your heads. Jesus, in the name that's above every name, I ask you to be glorified in this house right now. While your heads are bowed, I want to ask you a quick question. Is there somebody in this house who will say to me, first of all, Brother Steve Hobbs, I'm not saved, and I would appreciate you praying for me because it's on my mind. Will you pray for me? Let me see your hand. Just raise it up. I won't come back and grab you, I promise. There's one. Somebody else. Brother Steve, I'm not saved, but would you pray for me? There's two and three. Somebody else. Brother Steve, I'm not saved, but will you pray for me? Let me see your hand real quick. Hold it up. Hold it up real quick. I'm not going to come back and embarrass you or grab you or call you out. Just real quick, hold your hand up. All right.